Hi, this is Bill Woods again, the old retired preacher up here in Sun Valley, Arizona. I looked at the calendar and I saw it's April 24th. I'd remind you that it's only 9 months from today until it's Christmas Eve. I wondered if you've been getting your shopping done. Anyhow, I want to talk to you seriously today about what to remember when you're having a bad hair day. I want to read Romans chapter 8, 26 through 29. I'll especially emphasize verse 28. In Romans chapter 8, 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." A man was hiking through a mountain road, and he saw an Indian, I guess you politically correct, say a Native American, but he saw this Indian lying in the road. The Indian's ear was pressed to the ground, and he was talking. He mumbled, truck, Chevy pickup truck, large tires, man driving, German Shepherd in front seat, loaded with firewood, California license plate, UBH123. Well, the hiker was astounded. "That's unbelievable," he said. "You know all that that just by listening to the ground?" The Indian said, "No, truck ran over me 30 minutes ago." You know, life's like that. We don't always see what's coming. Sometimes when it does, it runs over us. Worse, no matter how we try, you can't keep from having a bad hair day. You can plan, prepare, do all you know to avoid those days, but they come anyway. A train was going through a town, and it wasn't scheduled to stop. A very short passenger wanted off, and if he went to the next station, he'd have to pay $100 to taxi back. The man next to him said, "The train slows down to pick up a mailbag. When it slows, I'll hold you out the window, and I'll drop you, and you start running so that you don't fall on your face, and simply run to a stop." The train slowed. The man dropped his friend out the window. The little man was running along the platform waving thanks for help. And a man in the next car saw the little man running and waving. And he reached out, grabbed him, pulled him through the window and said, "This is your lucky day. You almost missed the train." You know, life's filled with bad hair days, even bad hair months or bad hair years. I know that there are people that say 2020 was certainly a bad hair year. But I want you to remember Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, God's given us three truths for a bad hair day. They're promise, providence, and purpose. God's promises, and three words are important to understand. First is we. Paul said, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good." Now, just who is we? We are the ones who love God and are called. Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who love God and those who don't. Not everyone claiming to love God does love God. In Romans, John chapter 14, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." But we are the ones who are called. God calls those who love him to be part of his family. Those who surrender to Jesus become children of God. I would encourage you that you become part of that we, that you confess your sins to him and accept him as your personal Savior and become part of his family. God's promises are for his children. You know, not everybody can say, "Don't worry, everything will work out." Everything doesn't work out for everybody. Everything only works out for God's children. Some think, well, I'm not a child of God and everything's working out for me. Well, if you die and you spend eternity without God in hell, things didn't work out for you, did they? The second word that I want to pull out of this scripture is no. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good. You know, there are a lot of things about God and the Bible and life that we don't know. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't always know how to pray. We don't know what Jesus looked like. I mean, we've got these pictures, but it's just somebody's concept. We really don't know what he looked like. We don't know when he's coming back. We know, as we're looking at the different prophecies being fulfilled, that it can't be too awfully long, but we don't know for sure when it'll be. In fact, we don't even know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. So it's dishonest to claim that you don't know what you do know, and it's foolish to claim that you do know what you don't know. No one should hesitate claiming to know what they know, and this you can know. You might not like understanding what God's doing, but you can know God's making things work together for your good. The third word in this scripture that we want to emphasize here is all. We know that all things work together for good. If Paul had said few or some or most, we wouldn't argue with that. He said all things work together for good. He didn't say God works all things out for good most of the time, or most things work out good all the time. He said God works all things out together for good all of the time. It doesn't say we see all things work together for good. You know whether you see it or not. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that God can't see it. How could the plane that crashed on May 18th several years ago, killing 10 pastors and their wives in Cuba, they were on their way to a pastor's retreat, how could that work out for good? I remember when I was about 12, Jim Elliott and four other missionaries went down to the Central America or South America to minister to the Aka Indians. And they went down there and they worked trying to fly over and make friends. And in 1956, all five of them were killed by the Aka Indians that they went to minister to. Now, how could that work out for good? You know, it just didn't seem at the time that it was. And you know, people said, well, how could God let this happen? But I want you to know that opened the biggest mission field down there. There's been literally thousands and thousands of people saved because of that martyrdom of those missionaries. God worked it out for good. Never doubt in the dark what God's told you in the light. Then remember God's providence over you. Behind every promise is the providence of God. The oldest manuscripts say God works all things together for good. It's true. Do you understand what providence means? It's from two words, pro meaning before and video meaning to see. Providence means to see beforehand and to provide for what's seen. Provide is in the word providence. The providence of God means God sees everything before it happens and provides for it and sees that it fits his plan for your life. There are no accidents in a Christian life, just appointments. Disappointments are really his appointments. Often what we think is a rock of disappointment turns out to be a boulder of blessing. A man was shipwrecked on an uninhabited island. He gathered his few belongings that washed ashore and built a hut to shelter himself and his things. For weeks, all he had was hot sun, cold rain, and dark nights. He prayed that his ship would come. Nothing came. One evening, he went looking for food and saw smoke rising from his hut. He ran back. His hut was engulfed in flames. His campfire had set his hut on fire and burned everything he had. That night he went to sleep crying to God, "Why has this happened to me? Why did you let my hut burn? Why did you cause me to lose everything? Next morning, he woke to find a ship anchored off the island. The rescue that he had prayed for was there. He heard footsteps and turned around to see who was there. Men from that ship had came to rescue him. He asked, "How did you find me?" "We were passing by, saw your signal fire, and came to rescue you." You know, God can take a fire and turn it into a light that delivers you from darkness. He can take a flood and turn it into a river of blessing. The Greek for work together gives the English word synergy. Synergy is what happens when individual parts of something come together into a whole, making a greater and better effect than each individual part could have made on its own. Think about it. Every moment of every day is one individual piece of the puzzle of God's plan for your life. God can reach into a bag of circumstances on any given day, pull out any piece, fit it perfectly in the puzzle of His plan for you. That doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good, but everything isn't good, but everything will ultimately work together for your good. I've watched Marty bake cakes. And you know, if you eat any one of those individual ingredients, they're not too tasty. Do you enjoy eating flour? Would you like a meal of baking powder? How about a cup of Crisco? Oh, yuck. Or a glass of raw eggs? Those things themselves taste awful and harmful. But she takes those ingredients, mixes them together, puts them in the oven, and out comes a cake. It isn't what goes into the bowl that matters, it's what comes out of the oven that counts. You won't always enjoy the ingredients God puts into your life, but when He's finished baking it, you'll have a Romans 8:28 cake. The taste will be unbelievable. Every day we eat two deadly poisons. We eat sodium and chloride. Either taken alone can kill you. Together they form sodium chloride, or we call it salt. Either one without the other can poison you. Both together can bless you, because salt can make your bland food taste more flavorful, and you really enjoy it more if you put salt on it sometimes. If we take two things that are bad and make something good, surely God can take everything that's bad and make it into good. Remember God's purpose. God's purpose for you is good. That doesn't mean things will turn out like you think they should all the time. Certain things that are bad at the time really go for your good. I remember that a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, Lyle, we were at a pastor's retreat up in the Orcas Islands up in above Washington. And I can remember that Lyle fell and sprained his ankle at the pastor's retreat, and it was painful, and it curtailed some of the activities he wanted to go to. It made it hard to get to the seminars, and he felt, you know, like, why did this have to happen right now? But when he went to the doctor for help, they found his blood pressure was so high that he was about to have a stroke. And so what seemed bad at the time turned out to be good, because it probably saved his life. You know, normally, thanking God for a sprained ankle or maybe out on the freeway a flat tire seems crazy, but we give thanks in all things. Good doesn't necessarily mean health. Not all Christians are healthy. Good doesn't necessarily mean wealth. Not all Christians are wealthy. I'll accept your testimony if you want to give it here. God's purpose for you isn't to be healthy, wealthy, happy, you know, rich or famous. His purpose is found in Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Paul said, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, the word predestined scares a lot of Christians. But we were all chosen, predestined. You might remember, we were all selected to go to heaven. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's where the all fits in, would accept Him, would have eternal life. But we have the power of choice to choose whether we want to be predestined, whether we want to be selected or not. God's purpose is that you be like Jesus. The best thing that can happen isn't to be a millionaire or to be famous or to live in a mansion or drive a Mercedes. The best thing that can happen is for you to be like Jesus. Only God knows good, what's good for you. What's good isn't necessarily what you think is best. God's good is always better than your best. In 1971, Ravi Zacharias ministered in Vietnam. He was a good pastor that just recently died, but he was a very, very well-known pastor. Anyhow, he ministered in Vietnam. His interpreter was Hein Pham, a young Christian who was a translator with the American military and with missionaries. Zacharias left Vietnam within 4 years. And then within 4 years, Vietnam fell, and Zacharias didn't hear about Hein Pham's fate. 17 years later, in 1988, Hein Pham called Ravi Zacharias, can't even talk, Ravi Zacharias to say he was in the United States. The story only can be explained by the promise, providence, and purpose of God. After Vietnam fell to the communists, Hein was arrested for aiding the American cause. He was in and out of prison for several years. During one long jail term, the sole purpose was to turn him against democratic ideals and his Christian faith. He couldn't read anything in English, only communist propaganda in French or Vietnamese. Every day he was forced to read Marx, Engels, and other communist philosophers. He began to buckle under the pressure. Maybe, he thought, I've been lied to. Maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe God is a farce. He decided he'd never again pray or think of his Christian faith. Next day, he was assigned to clean the latrines in the prison. No one wanted that job. Distressed, he began cleaning toilets. As he cleaned a tin can filled to overflowing with toilet paper, he saw something in English printed on a piece of paper. He washed it off and slipped it into his pocket. That night, he pulled out a flashlight and shined it on the paper, and he read at the top corner Romans chapter 8. Trembling, he read Romans 8:28. Hein began to weep. He knew his Bible. There wasn't a more relevant passage of conviction, encouragement, and strength for someone in his position. He cried for God's forgiveness, saying he'd never again turn his back on Christ. Hein asked the commander if he could clean the latrine again. As usual, I mean, an unusual request for people to ask for that, but they let him do it. Every day he cleaned the latrines. Some official was using the Bible as toilet paper, and every day Hein found a scripture, cleaned it, and read it in his devotions. The day finally came for his release, and he began making plans to escape from the country. After several unsuccessful attempts, he began building a boat in secret. 53 people planned to escape with him. Everything was fine until 4 Viet Cong knocked on Hein's door. When he opened it, they said they had heard he was trying to escape. Is it true? Hein denied it and made it up a story about what he was doing. They turned and they left. Hein was relieved, but he was disappointed in himself. He said, "Here I go again, Lord, trying to manipulate my own destiny rather than let you work out things together for my good." He made a promise to God that if God, you know, and he hoped that God wouldn't make him keep it, but he promised God if the Viet Cong came back, he would tell the truth. Hours before they were to leave, there was another knock. He opened the door and found the same 4 Viet Cong. They said, "We have our sources. We know you're trying to escape. Is it true?" He said, "Yes, I'm with 53 others. Are you going to imprison me?" They said, "No, we want to go with you." In an incredible escape plan, all 58 found themselves on the high seas, engulfed by a violent storm. Hein cried to God, "Did you bring us here to die?" Then he said, "Brother Ravi, those four Viet Cong said, 'Didn't you know we were sailors?'" He said, "If it hadn't been for their sailing ability, we'd never had made it." You know, when Peter Marshall was chaplain of the United States Senate, he prayed some of the greatest prayers recorded. On June 6, 1947, he prayed before the United States Senate this prayer: "O God, our Heavenly Father, restore our faith in the ultimate triumph of thy plan for the world that thou hast made. In spite of present difficulties, reassure us that thou art still in control. When we become frustrated and give up, remind us that thou art holding things together, waiting and working and watching. When we make mistakes, help us to remember that thou dost not give up on us. Forbid it, Lord, that we should give up on thee, and forget that all things work together for them that love thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." David Mackenzie said, "To act out the principle of turning prayers over to God, we took a paper bag, wrote God on it, and taped it high on the back of our kitchen door. As I prayed about matters such as my career, my role as a father, my abilities to be a good husband, I would write down each concern on a piece of paper. Then those pieces of paper would go in the bag. The rule was that if you start worrying about a matter of prayer that you've turned over to God, you have to climb up on a chair, fish it out of the bag. I don't want to admit how much time I spent sifting through those scraps of paper. I read how you can tell when it's going to be a rotten day." I read this, it's kind of funny. It says, "You know it's going to be a rotten day when you wake up face down on the pavement. When you call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You know it's a bad day when you see a 60 Minutes news team waiting in your office. Or your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You know it's a bad day when you turn on the news and they're showing emergency routes out of the city. Or when your twin sister forgot your birthday. You know it's going to be a bad day when your car horn goes off accidentally, remains stuck as you follow a group of Hell's Angels on the freeway. Or your boss tells you not to bother to take off your coat. Or the bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. You know it's a bad day when you wake up and your braces are locked together. Or you call your answering service and they tell you it's none of your business. Or your income tax check bounces. You put both contact lenses in the same eye. Or when your wife says, 'Good morning, Sam,' and your name is George. You know, we can joke about bad days, but when I'm having a bad day, I want to rely on the fact that Jesus is there to help me through it, and that he promises that it will work out for my good." He's promised the same thing to you. Maybe you're having a bad day today, but if you turn to God and rely upon him, you know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you love God? If not, why not? Why not accept him now? And we know, let me repeat it, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I'd pray today that you help us when we go through rough times, when we get discouraged, when we want to just throw in the towel and say, "What's the use?" Help us to realize that you're right there. You never promised that everything would go perfectly. You just promised, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. And you promised that ultimately everything would work out for our good. And so, Father, I'd pray that you help us each one to put our trust and faith in you. And Lord, if there are people listening right now that don't know you as their personal Savior, we know that you said, Jesus, that if we confess our sins, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help them, Lord, to turn to you and confess their sins to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help them today to realize no matter what kind of day they're facing, you are with them, and you promise way back in your Bible that as our day, so should our strength be. Thank you, Jesus, that you're always there We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is lowercase revwmwwoods@gmail.com. And my mailing address is William Woods, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. If you needed to get in touch with me, if you need to ask for prayer, I would welcome those requests. And I hope today God blesses you and that you realize that serving Him is the best thing you can do, and it'll last for all eternity. Praise God.